You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thank you, Trav, for correcting Emily on the furniture burning procedures in Isla Vista. Mattresses, we burn couches and throw goalposts into the ocean. That's the other thing that we've done. We will burn our own couches to the ground in celebration. And when the Gauchos won the national championship in men's soccer a handful of years ago, they literally picked up the goals from Harder Stadium where they play and walked them to the cliffs in Isla Vista and hurled the goal off of the cliff into the ocean.
How far are we going here?
Half a mile?
That's a long way. That's a long way.
But you know what? UVA just wins too many national championships. We can't really do that every time we win, because then we'd be out of stuff. You know, we might win swimming for a three-peat this year. So, you know.
Into the ocean, Slee. A soccer goal.
I like your story
pretty good
better.
Size.
I like that.
Pretty good. Half a mile. I think it's probably about half a mile. Maybe a quarter. But it's not around the corner.
That's awesome. How do you top that story?
It's on YouTube. You just type UCSB soccer goalpost ocean, and you'll see the parade of people walking down Dale Playa to chuck it into the ocean. Anthony Davis will not play tonight against the Rockets in Houston. Anthony Davis will not play tomorrow, according to Darvin Ham. That would be tonight. There was an organizational decision to keep him out of back-to-backs, even though Ham stressed that Davis remains pain-free, playing on the foot that kept him out 20 games earlier this season. Darvin did add, quote, "It was definitely a thought to rest Davis more in the second half, allowing him to play tonight, but the Lakers' second-half trouble meant that Davis had to play late into the fourth quarter." It's too bad. Like I said, I'm not relitigating Anthony Davis all over again. I wish he was playing. Mm-hmm. He's not, and I hope they win, and I hope that when he gets back on the court following tonight's game that he gives me more good than bad. I'm just day-to-day with AD, and he's not available today, so whatever.
Well, that one's kind of a really tough one to swallow, that when you have a 35 – this is kind of what I meant. We were talking about it a little bit earlier, how it deflated a little bit as the second half went on. When you have a 35-point lead, I know for me, I'm doing the halftime show 75-40. I'm already talking about, all right, hey, make sure this thing is done by the time the fourth quarter starts. So then maybe AD plays 25 minutes tonight. Maybe some of these other starters, only because you got the Rockets 24 hours later. That's the only idea, only concept. To hear Darvin Ham say, you know, if they didn't have to use him as much in the fourth quarter, if they didn't have to use him as much in the second half, maybe that would have meant he's going to play against the Houston Rockets. That's a missed opportunity for the Lakers. Lakers were in this situation 2 weeks ago. They had a back-to-back. Now, that one was different. I think there was miscommunication. I don't think people really knew that AD was going to be missing back-to-backs. So this one's more expected.
Well, the Lakers dropped the ball on that. They gave out really confusing, conflicting stories so that people were unclear as to what was going to happen. That was the Lakers' fault.
So that one was more of a surprise 2 weeks ago. This one is less of a surprise because they had said he's probably not going to go in these back-to-backs. But that's a missed opportunity for the Lakers, because if they lost – the Rockets only have 16 wins this year. I think 16 or 17. But if they lost to the Houston Rockets tonight because Anthony Davis is not there, that means something. You know, you and I know obviously what that means in the stands and everything else. If they don't lose to the Houston Rockets, then there's no conversation to be had. But that can happen. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum were playing in the last game that they played the Rockets. Rockets won that game by two. It happens in the NBA.
Sure.
This is not crazy for something like that to happen. And when you don't have Braun and you don't have Anthony Davis, That would be so incredibly unfortunate to walk away from this road trip 1-1.
This is what you get. And again, I'm done with the Anthony Davis, is he or isn't he? I'm so over it. He's not playing tonight. Okay. Let me know when he's back and we'll go from there. They better win tonight. You know,
that's the point.
Yeah. They better win.
Better
tonight.
Win tonight.
They've taken what could be, just like you said, could happen any night in the NBA. These are all, everybody's
happens
getting
all the time.
Paid. Happens
yep.
all the time.
Yep.
And if Anthony Davis were out there and it happened, you go, happens. Mm-hmm. They just beat the Celtics, like you said. Okay. If they lose and he's not there, it's a different conversation.
The one, 2 weeks ago.
It's just like, all right.
The one, 2 weeks ago, they did win the back-to-back, so it got quiet. Nobody really said anything.
It did.
But tomorrow, if now they're two games below 500 again, or in 3 weeks, you're looking at the schedule and saying, Lakers are a game out of whatever, that would that'd be unfortunate.
You're not going to hear it from me tomorrow, win, lose, or draw. I'm not doing it, but I will say that I don't think that they're going to lose tonight. I don't think that they're going to come down to being a game or two in or out. I think they're going to be comfortably in. Having seen what we've seen for the last 3 weeks, give or take, having seen D'Angelo look the way that he's looked since he came back about a week ago, having seen Anthony Davis play well more often than he doesn't, knowing that LeBron is at least trending in the right direction on a return towards the end of the season, I think the Lakers are going to be in. And I wouldn't even be surprised if they don't have to mess around with the play-in portion of it. Just get in.
Game one or out doesn't have to mean play-in tournament or not. It could mean they had a chance at the sixth seed, but they ended up at number seven.
Sure.
That it could be that, right? I think the difference of that.
Yeah, it could be. You're absolutely right. But I just think that the Lakers have hit this spot. And it's a lot of things altogether. Denver's playing really poorly. They've lost four in a row. Ja Morant has been suspended for 8 games by the league, so he's not
on top
back
of what he's already missed
until very near the end of the season. Kevin Durant is injured. The Lakers are playing as well as anybody in the league, not named the Sacramento Kings. The Sacramento Kings are as green when it comes to playoff experience as anybody has been in a really long time.
Warriors can't win a road game.
All
Clippers
over the place.
Are all over the
all
place.
All over the place.
Karl Anthony Towns is still out for the Timberwolves. Luka is back and forth.
It's funny you say that. That Luka, the Mavs and Minnesota, Oklahoma City, Portland, New Orleans, like all the teams in that group.
Yeah.
Lakers are better than those teams right now. They just are. The Lakers are playing better. The Lakers are deeper. The Lakers have a far easier schedule than everybody in the league. It's all shaping up for them not just to get in, not just to get out of the play-in.
Make
not
a
just
little
to
noise.
Be, yeah. Yeah. There's nobody that is super scary.
And there's nobody that's going to look at their first-round matchup if it's, let's say the Lakers end up in that sixth spot and they got the Memphis Grizzlies in the first round. Memphis is not going to be sitting there saying, oh, well, I'm glad we got the Lakers.
Right.
If the Lakers are a seventh seed and the Kings end up with that two slot, I don't know if the Kings are going to be saying, oh, I'm so glad that we get the Lakers. So they'll be a team to be reckoned with. They got to finish out the season. They still got 13 to go. There's also, and I'm going to kind of read off this because you were promoting it in the beginning. So this is from Shams. NBA suspends Grizzly star Ja Morant for 8 games after league investigation into him displaying an apparent gun at a Denver nightclub on social media on March 4th. Just a little bit further into it, NBA investigation of Ja Morant did not conclude that the gun belonged to Morant, was brought by him into the nightclub, or was displayed by him behind a brief period. Also did not find that Morant possessed the gun while traveling with the team or in any NBA facility.
Okay, Woj just tweeted again.
Okay.
This is not as onerous as it appears. He just tweeted that suspension covers the 6 games he'll miss, including tonight versus Miami. He's eligible to play on Monday versus Dallas, the same day that he's able to rejoin the Grizzlies in the team environment. His ramp up to return will begin on Monday and return to games soon thereafter, sources said. So
it includes what he's missed?
I'm going to read it exactly as it's written. The suspension covers the 6 games he'll miss, including tonight versus Miami. So the suspension is, yes. It is basically he's put portion of this already in the suspension bank, so it's not like he's going to miss 8 moving forward. He could be back a lot sooner than
that. Back.
So that's not 8 starting today.
Yeah,
it's 8 with already 6 of these in the bank. So
by the way,
that's
even
a huge difference.
Even if it was 8 on top, I still think that what you were saying wasn't completely wrong. It wasn't a 30 game. It wasn't a 40 game.
And
it wasn't a 50 game. This is going to be, he was already out. He was getting counseling.
Yes.
All that counts towards it.
Yes.
We're going to take away any pay for any of those games. But the investigation, like they said, this is from Shams, it wasn't his gun, and he did not bring it into the nightclub.
I'm more right than I was 3 minutes ago. Right?
You're all over. It's back and forth.
Speaking of me being right, remember this from yesterday?
My problem is Malik Beasley. Last 4 games, he's 7 for 28. That's 25% from the field. On the year for the Lakers, he's 37%. Shouldn't Reeves be starting instead of Beasley?
Like you said, he had one game where he made 7. There's probably another game where he's going to make 7 around the corner. Like, if you shoot 40%, it doesn't mean you go 4 out of 10 every night. You can go 8 out of 10 one night, 2 out of 10 the next night. That's 40%. Yeah. See, I don't get them all wrong. I got that one right. I just needed to be a little more right.
Why'd you cut my portion off?
Do you think I know how to edit anything?
Unbelievable.
I don't know how to edit anything.
Unbelievable.
What are you talking about?
You should have your sound page taken away for the next 2 weeks.
Do you think I know how to edit?
You should get suspended for 8 games.
Do you think I know how to edit?
8 shows you're suspended.
Do you think I know how to edit?
I think you know how to tell people to edit and what to edit.
That's the right answer. That's the right answer. Just admit it.
By the way, you finally
like
had a game. What? Finally.
Al.
My problem is Malik Beasley.
I told you that this is
unbelievable. That's how you edit it.
He is like lifetime from three? Like about 40%? Is that
I think
about where
he
is?
Was 38, 36 like coming into this season.
He's going to make 36% of them for the Lakers, too. That he'd had 5 bad games in a row means a good one's coming. That's
but
math.
That's okay that because I was critical of Beasley too. The guy had gone through a stretch where he's firing off every game.
Right.
You can't go 3 for 12 and have 12 points. You can't have the same amount of shots.
But he's not going to go 3 for 12 every
Correct.
Night.
Correct. He's gonna have a game. The problem is so far he has not. It hasn't been on a consistent. By the way, if his career average, like you said, I think I just
whatever
said 36, 38, whatever it is. Hopefully he gets back to that, but he's working his way back to that.
I would love to know what he's shooting for the Lakers right now because the whole Laker team was smoking hot last night, but he in particular.
Did Taylor edit
was
it?
Really
Who
hot.
Edited it?
I honestly don't know.
Trav did it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I honestly don't know who did it, but I said, just make this sound like I'm right because I was. We didn't get enough of you as it is. We just need to make sure that my rightness was in there. Ja being back changes things a lot. Right. So when he comes back, whether it's in a couple more or another week or so or whatever, there
still has enough questions out there.
He
period.
Can beat people by himself. That Memphis without him can. There's nobody, whether it's Jaren Jackson or whether it's the Dillon Brooks or whoever it is. Right. Those guys aren't good enough to win a series by themselves. Ja kind of is. And if he comes back in, that's one more team where now you need just a little bit of weirdness to happen. You need Ja to be bad or just human. A few times.
I think Memphis is not that much different than some of these other conversations we're having about these other teams. There's still question marks there. They've never got to the Western Conference Finals. They walk around like they're the baddest team. That, you know, Dillon Brooks talking about a rivalry with the Warriors. You guys haven't done anything. You know, so I think there are as many questions as we have about some of these other teams in the Western Conference. I also think you can ask the question about the Memphis Grizzlies. Are they mature enough? Do they have enough veterans on that team? Do they know what to do in a game 6, 2 minutes left to go, and this could decide the series or not? The Warriors, who are completely different, that conversation when those two teams go up against each other, Memphis has a learning curve too. So if we're going to – they have more playoff experience than a team like the Sacramento Kings to use as an example, but they got a lot of questions too. Ja Morant is great, but it's not like this thing has just kind of clicked perfectly for them as well. They're another team that falls into this category of you still got to show some stuff in the playoffs before you're walking around like you've been in the finals 3 years in a row.
And they're impulsive. Emily, help me out with my vocabulary here. You're my thesaurus. They're young and impulsive, and they react to things. Steph was asked a question yesterday about do you have a relationship – or excuse me, a rivalry with the Grizz? And his response, and he took a minute to think about it, and he said, no. What they are is they're a very hard team to beat. They're the team that you have to play well against to beat. The Grizzlies are so emotional when it comes to this stuff. They get caught up in the nonsense. They get caught up in
immature,
the,
young. It,
that's the word. Mm-hmm. They're immature and impulsive. They react to the thing that's right in front of them as opposed to being tactical and saying, I don't need to react to that. I'm going to wait. I'm going to keep my options open. They react first and think second. That's not a good thing for a playoff team. That's why I think the Lakers have a really good chance. LeBron doesn't do that. AD doesn't do that. I don't think D'Angelo Russell's going to do that.
They've taken, for what it's worth, because nobody's really been healthy on a lot of these, Lakers have taken 2 of 3 from the Grizzlies this year. So it'd be a fun matchup, tell you that.
He's coming back sooner than later. The good and the bad and the potentially disastrous of the WBC. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Excited to get out there tomorrow. Excited to get out there, see everybody, watch a little college basketball, hang out, and go Aztecs, go Hoos.
Yeah, if you're around that area, make sure you come out.
Even
come
if you're
out
not,
with us.
Make a day. Right? You've already
We're
been
driving
laying,
out there.
Already been laying the groundwork of being sick on Thursday anyway. Well, you know, I haven't feeling good, boss. Yep. You know, I'm going to muscle through on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. My stomach's not quite right. So you can go watch basketball.
I don't know if
out.
They I don't know if they still have it, but I think I've mentioned this before. They used to have that boss button. You know, so you have all the games online, and you used to have the boss button mm-hmm. that if your boss is coming around, you just hit it, and just spreadsheets everywhere. Yeah. And I remember this was early on the business side. I had to show my boss. I like went right into his office. I'm like, you got to come see this. He's like, what? I'm like, come take a look at this. He comes, sits down. And I had the games on. He's like, are you really watching the games? I'm like, yeah, it's Thursday. You know, like we're all watching the
yeah,
games, right?
I was
right?
going to say, that's one of yeah. those days you just kind of write it off.
Yeah, I mean, I think we basketball. All know we're watching it. And I said, but watch this. And I hit it, and it's just all these graphs. He's like, I would know that this is not.
Of course.
You don't have these spreadsheets on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I don't
you
think just, it was meant to trick anybody. It's more like what you're like, hey, this is kind of funny. This is kind of cool. I have kind of had the opposite week. I felt like garbage on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Like I was not good. I did not feel good on Monday. Felt a little better yesterday, but not very good. On my way home yesterday, by the time we were done with the show, I felt kind of like myself again.
Yeah.
And I did the thing where, you know, I hadn't really eaten anything other than like toast and applesauce for the better part of 3 days.
You got to make up ground for a couple days.
I did it. Yeah. I did the thing that is, you know, it's not the healthiest choice in the world, but it's the meal for me that when I'm like ready to get back in the saddle, I have to do it. I went to McDonald's yesterday and I hit it on the way home. Two McDoubles, a fries, and a Coke. Might have been the best thing I've ever eaten in my entire life. Just
Travis is back.
Sugar.
Travis is back.
Salty, hot. It was so satisifying. It just
eating the car.
I barely was out of the drive-through line before I'd eaten most of it because I had, like I said, I hadn't eaten in a few days,
right.
Or not hadn't eaten much. I was so hungry, silly.
You know, it'd been awesome.
It just disappeared. I'm not kidding you. Two double cheeseburgers, fries, and a Coke were gone in less than 5 minutes. It was just, I was like a Tasmanian devil. There's just pieces of bag floating
awesome.
Through the air in the car as
You're
I was
You're in the
done.
Drive-thru, and the moment they kind of hand you all the food, right? You grab it, and then you instantly put your car in a park. And like, sir, what are you doing? And you're like, not right now. And you just start eating, and you're telling cars behind you, go
Waving
around.
Through.
Go around.
By the time I took the food to the time I was out the driveway, it's, I don't know, 20 feet. I'd had three handfuls of French fries. Just do you guys have that meal that does all right, I'm back, I'm ready to put more fuel in the tank, that not like the gourmet meal, just
I got
the thing
one.
That makes you feel better.
Even though I think you could eat it any time, but pizza for me.
Oh, great just, choice.
I don't know what you want me to do.
Great choice. Like, so you get over a bout of upset stomach, that's the first thing you're hitting?
Upset stomach, you weren't feeling good. Maybe you had the flu and you just didn't have an appetite, anything like that. Pizza's like the go to for me.
I usually have to have a long comeback, so I usually go like Cava. I really love Cava, and I get like a really big bowl from them and get like a ton of the pita chips and stuff. So I go that way.
That's good, Joey. Do you have one, Taylor?
Yeah, for the greasy food, I like Chick-fil-A a lot, but the breakfast. So I'll get the chicken biscuit and then get a huge
I don't think I've ever had that. Is that you
it's really good.
Would recommend?
I'll get two or three of those and get a sweet tea.
Two or three? Does it come with like a whole piece of chicken?
Yeah, it's just like a chicken sandwich.
Yeah, but I could eat three chicken sandwiches. That's quite a bit.
But you can have four
just
burgers.
Two,
they're
yeah,
McDonald's.
Just
they're
the
little skinny ones.
Fries,
but a Chick-fil-A piece of chicken is like
a
real
piece of
it's
chicken.
A real
Are you
piece
talking about
of
the
chicken.
Biscuits?
Chicken biscuit, yeah. It's a little
they're,
smaller,
they're
right?
They're smaller. They're
little
way
bit.
Smaller than the sandwich. They're like a little, like half the size of the palm. Sorry, I was taking a phone call, so I couldn't listen to what he was saying.
Stop doing your job.
I was going to say, come on. Multitask, Emily. Let's go. Do better. She's bothered. Now she's upset with me the rest of
the time. I'm trying to multitask. You asked me to do something.
Good job. Way to be on top of it. Pickleball coming up on Saturday, 10 to 4, Agape Pickleball Center, Miles Square Park in Fountain Valley. Just come on out. We're going to have a great time. It's open to anybody that wants to come. There's TVs to watch your basketball. There's a beer garden. There's a kid zone. There are food and drinks. There's a DJ. There's a photo booth. You will have a great time. If you've ever been to a 7-10 event, you know how much fun they are. If you haven't, you don't know what you're missing, so come on out and have a great time. Thanks to Michelob Ultra, Bud Light Seltzer, and Pizza Hut.
All right, can I throw something your way? Berg asked me this in the hallway. He said, hey, after the pickleball tournament, are you going to be playing pickleball? And I haven't thought about that. And kind of without no hesitation, I was like, yeah, I think I will be. Do you want to play next week? That's what Berg throws at me.
Oh, okay.
The only problem with this is just time slot, this, that. But anyways, yeah, I think I'm going to continue playing pickleball. Like, if you'd have thought this thing, if you'd have told me a month ago, hey, Al, when Saturday rolls around and the pickleball tournament's over, are you giving away your paddle? Probably. What am I going to use it for?
Pickleball.
No, I'm going to keep it, and I'm going to probably use it. Is that kind of random? That's so random.
It's having a moment. It's an incredibly popular thing right now. I think it's got a little bit of racquetball in 1981 vibe to it, where everybody was playing racquetball. There were clubs popping up all over America. You could not turn around and not run into a racquetball club.
Yeah.
Go try to find one right now. They just it was a 5-6 year thing. It might be that. People really like it.
So here's the thing. For me, I don't care. If everybody's playing it, if I don't enjoy the game, then I'm good.
I'm with you.
I kind of enjoy the game. It has a shelf life. If I play 1 hour, I'm not trying to play any more than it, right? Like, 1 hour is plenty of pickleball. But for that 1 hour, I'm kind of enjoying myself.
You're going to get like 45 minutes tops on Saturday.
Maybe half an hour, 20 minutes. Here's the only way we end up playing more is if there's a loser bracket or there's just open courts and Jorge and Berg say, let's play. It's only going to be that. That's the only scenario because in order for us to actually move on in the tournament and play 3-4 games, I think that's very unlikely. So it's going to have to be us playing with other people who lost from 710 ESPN.
We'll see. We'll see. I don't know how likely that is either. I'm just
saying, you're probably done. That's fair.
I don't think I can. That's the thing. You'll see on Saturday. My mobility is extremely limited at the moment. I'm not going to be able to go.
How's the knee?
Not good. I'm just saying, I'm not blaming it on my knee. I stink at pickleball. Full stop. I stink at pickleball and my knee is not great. So once I'm done competing, I don't know how much I'm going to
I think once you see everybody else playing from 7-10, you're going to think, oh, okay, I can hold my own. Everybody from 7-10?
Oh, yeah, I'm holding my own, but I'm out at that point. What do I care if I get in the losers bracket or whatever it is? Because it's not even a loser. It's like a
it's an open
recreation
court.
Bracket.
Yeah, it basically is literally an open court.
I'm good on that. Speaking of brackets, the World Baseball Classic is, you want the good or the bad, Slee? Because there's a little bit of both.
Give me the good.
The good?
Mm-hmm.
Today is an incredibly important day to what happens next.
Okay.
Team USA plays Colombia. If they win today, they are guaranteed to go through to the next round. Okay. They're not guaranteed to be the top seed. It depends on what Mexico and Canada do. They're playing right now.
Okay.
If Mexico beats Canada, Mexico's number one seed. Okay. So we would be the 2 seed. Which means in the next round, we play Venezuela. They're really good. They won their pool. If we are the top seed, we would play the winner of Puerto Rico, the DR, which are playing later on this afternoon. Those are also really good teams. So regardless, unless the U.S. somehow loses to Colombia today, unlikely, they're going to play
some good
either Venezuela, the Dominican Republic, or Puerto Rico. All three of those teams are really, really good. This is what we want this to happen. We want those teams with all your Major League All-Stars against all of our Major League All-Stars.
Now it's fun.
To
now
play in an event. Mm-hmm. And we are a day away. We're going to know what it is by the end of the night tonight. Americans play Colombia at 7 o'clock.
If they lose, what happens?
If the Americans lose, they could be out of they might not advance. They could still advance.
So there's still a small chance for that.
Very unlikely.
Okay.
Even with a loss, there's still it's very unlikely, but not impossible. DR, Venezuela, or Puerto Rico? There's no bad matchup after that. And it's one done. So you get in, let's say it's the DR. All of our All-Stars against all of their All-Stars. Winner is out.
It's awesome.
Winner advances with a chance to maybe match up with Japan at some point because they're on the other half of the draw. This is what this is supposed to be, and we're basically a day away.
Okay, let's say because there's a situation. Wasn't Freddie Freeman taken out of the game?
So you want the bad?
Well, this is what I was going to say. Knowing that this could happen, right? Not just obviously a Dodger player, any player that's represented in the WBC, mm-hmm. anything can happen. Shohei, something can happen to anybody.
It could happen in a regular spring training game
as well. Do you have any hesitation of when these players are out there representing their country, or like you just said, you could be crossing the street and churn your ankle? Because Freddie Freeman left the game, suffered a minor hamstring injury yesterday while playing for Canada in the World Baseball Classic. Mm-hmm. They think he'll be fine, but there's just any time.
If he would be fine, why wouldn't he keep playing? You know, so here's the rub. I did a little informal poll this morning, and everybody answered the question the same way because it's the first thing that I thought of. What's the first thing you think of with hamstring injuries?
Takes a while.
Exactly
yeah,
right.
You got to be off of it for a while.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. It takes a really long time to recover from
and
a
it's delicate.
And
so
it's
as
delicate.
It can happen again.
And it lingers, mm-hmm. and they get re-aggravated. Like, yeah. We all had the exact same. That's not, even if it's very mild, he's fine, et cetera, et cetera. The Dodgers' best player, or best player 1A,
yep.
now has a hamstring injury, and it could linger for
before
a very
the season
long time,
starts.
Before the season even starts. That's exactly right. The argument against, well, it could happen anywhere. It can, for sure. But playing against the Diamondbacks in a spring training game with a couple hundred people watching, and you're facing a kid that's going to be in Double A in a couple of weeks, is very different than playing against 50,000 people in a stadium full of people
representing your country
where mm-hmm. I hit a ball and I got to bust it to first base.
Sure.
I'm busting it at 100%
in March
mm-hmm. where I haven't had a chance to kind of ramp up to this stuff. That's the difference. The Dodgers seemingly have a player on every single team. And their best player, not named Mookie Betts, or maybe just flat out their best player, now has the classic lingering injury in a game that, in all intents and purposes, really doesn't matter. It's not nothing. Put it on the list of Gavin Lux. Put it on the list of Chris Taylor struggling, all the guys that have gone. The Dodgers have just had some bad luck that mm-hmm. they typically haven't had.
Let's put it this way. Remember when Kershaw was not able to play because of there was insurance issues? And you and I talked about this maybe about a week ago. I don't think there was a Dodger fan out there saying, well, this is BS that Kershaw can't go in the WBC.
I want to talk
for those reasons.
Two things about the Dodgers. One, about me being right all over again, which we'll get to in just a sec. And two, I wrote it all out on a piece of paper, Slee. Everything that the Dodgers don't have this season, it's a little shocking when you actually look at it on a piece of paper. That's coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Al, I got a question for you real quick. Have you ever gotten a text from your mother calling you an idiot? Because I just got one.
I have not.
you want to hear how this goes?
My mom, this is the just kind of difference. She just recently kind of figured out how to text.
Okay.
So whenever I get a text, it's like a miracle. It's like, I just got a text from my mother. So she has not said idiot yet. That could be coming.
This came 8 minutes ago. My mother just tweeted, "You're an idiot. Have you never heard of chicken soup?" And then I wrote her back and I said, "Yeah, but I'm back. I'm good as new." And then her response was, "Right, until you drop dead of a heart attack." Thanks, Mom. Love you. Appreciate that. I'm fine. What could happen to me? Nothing bad's going to happen to me.
You got your McDonald's.
Yeah, I did.
You got what you needed there.
I feel a lot better. What do you make of that? I feel like you're confused by that exchange.
I would not expect that to come from your mother. But that's your mother, tough love. She wants you to She wants you to have some broccoli. She wants you to have some chicken noodle soup. She wants you to have some stuff that she feels like would be better for you.
Yeah, well, there's better. There's healthier choices, but I needed to test the system.
There's healthier choices.
Sure it was up.
I just did
fries
not know.
Fries have potatoes in them. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Pickles on the burger.
Pickles on the protein in the meat.
They're probably using vegetable oil to fry everything. So there's your veggies.
Does that count as a vegetable?
There's your veggies.
You guys ever got a you're an idiot text from one of your parents?
Plenty of times. And then also more from my siblings than my parents, but plenty of times from my parents.
Taylor?
It's usually the silence that lets me know I'm an idiot.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's actually more effective, quite frankly. The you're an idiot, just the shot to the side of the head is kind of, I can keep that one moving along.
She came after your throat.
Yeah, she wants to make sure I don't have a heart attack. I don't want to, just for the record, I don't want a heart attack.
Don't speak that into existence.
No, I'm trying to avoid that. Well, trying to avoid it, hoping I avoid it is probably a better way of putting it. Tomorrow, we are all over Yamava Resort and Casino. The 909 Sports Bar for a tournament tip-off watch party will be broadcasting live from 10 a.m. until 7 p.m. all day tomorrow. Compress the flesh with us, me and Slee, Mason in Ireland, Sedano and Cap, wall-to-wall LEDs, 150-plus screens, so you get to watch all of the basketball, 32 craft beers, so you can have a good time. It's the perfect place to watch all of the action. Plus, we'll be giving away prizes, autographed memorabilia. Baron Davis will be there 4 to 6. UCLA plays at 7. You need to be 21. Please gamble responsibly.
Take the day off. Come on, it's Thursday.
Why
it's
not?
Opening of the tournament. Everybody takes Thursday off, and then let it leak into Friday.
Was Thursday the big night at San Diego State when you were there? Because,
yeah, Thursday night tour.
I think that's just kind of normal for every college campus, right? Thursday night's the big night. No, you try not to schedule classes on Friday.
Thursday was the best night because the weekend hasn't started, but it kind of started. Thursday night was kind of the start of the weekend, right? So whatever happened on Friday almost didn't matter. Friday, you might even, it just depended, right? Are you rallying on Friday and make it two in a row? Or are you taking it easy on Friday and going hard to the hoop on Saturday? Kind of, you had your options there.
So Freddie Freeman has a mild hamstring strain. So take that for whatever it's worth. We all had the exact same reaction, which is, yeah, but what does that mean? Does that mean it goes away in a day, a week, a month, the All-Star break? Never. You know, just you have to be off that thing typically for it to heal, and then you cross your fingers. The good news for Freddie Freeman is a remarkably durable player. He basically plays 160-plus games every season, minus one time where he got hurt early in the year. But he's been remarkably durable, so that's good news. The Dodgers have had a weird 6 months from the end of last season to where we are right now. Here's what's happened with the Dodgers, okay?
By the way, the durable on Freddie Freeman, I don't know why that makes me even more cautious.
Really?
Because I only say that it's not common for players to be that durable. He's 33 years old, and that almost adds an element of, oh no, is he supposed to have an injury now? Like, every player kind of goes through it, but that's just not, me in my own head.
I kind of get that. So put that on the list as well, but I still think the Dodgers are going to be a very good team.
I think
that they're a playoff team, but when you just listen to this list, it's like, how can you lose this and still think that, oh, yeah, this team's going to win 90, 92, 93 games? Ready? Trey Turner is no longer on the team.
Yep.
Gavin Lux will not play all season long.
Mm-hmm.
They lost 42 starts combined with Andrew Heaney and Anderson.
Yep, Tyler Anderson.
42 starts between those two guys. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to find somewhere else. Walker Buehler will not pitch this season, and if he does, it'll be at the very, very end, and he'll be ramping up from a return. Justin Turner is not on the team. Mookie Betts is going to play a significant portion of the season at second base, making your outfield very, very thin. Okay? That's all the things that have gone out. Turner, Lux, Heaney, Anderson, Buehler, JT, and a thin outfield when Mookie plays the infield, which they say they're going to do. Here's what's come in to try to backstop all of this. JD Martinez, Jason Hayward, and Noah Syndergaard. That is not your balance sheet is not squared at that point. You got Mookie,
got Freddie, 2023.
You got Will Smith.
Yeah.
JD Martinez, Jason Hayward, Noah Syndergaard to replace all of that. The Dodgers are going to have a lot of work to do this season.
Yeah.
A lot.
So a couple things on that. I think the part that you just mentioned right there, why do you think they're still potentially going to win 90 games, make the playoffs? That's how far ahead of everybody they were.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So to have everything that you just talked about happen, and you're still in this 90-game mix, whatever the case, that's because you won 111 and you were that much better than the rest of Major League Baseball.
They could win 21 fewer games and win 90.
Yes. That's just stupid. That's just ridiculous. So I think you have that. You had a little bit of a cushion, let's just call it. But now you're thin. So now it's not whatever cushion that you had, now you can't afford Freddie Freeman. You can't afford that. Right? Like you don't have room for error moving forward. So even if Freeman is fine, but let's say he's kind of it's raw for the first month of the season, something like that. You can't afford anything to happen to the players that you currently have. So you don't have that luxury right there. I think the other part of it is interesting too is, you know, what do the Dodgers do? Because everybody knows that the Dodgers have assets, that they have prospects, that they're obviously competing for a World Series or it's nothing. That front office is as good as any front office in all of sports. I would make that argument.
I agree.
So with all that being said, okay, do they sit back and kind of accept what this year... Okay, let's get the season started. Okay, let's see where we are compared to others once the season gets going. And then as you get a little bit closer to the trade deadline, what's the deal with Ohtani? What's the deal? I think there's other factors that they're keeping in mind. They're not just deciding, let's throw the season away. I think there's some curiosity of how the first couple of months go before they try to improve that roster.
Take the Turner, Lux, JT portion of this and just kind of pretend that it didn't happen right now. This is what you have to do. You have to replace Walker Buehler, Heaney, and Anderson with May and Syndergaard. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. That's a lot going out, and it's a decent, you know, getting Dustin May back is a big deal. He's a good pitcher. I have high hopes for Noah Syndergaard,
but where May used to be a luxury is now a necessity.
That's the biggest thing. Chris Taylor for a long time was a luxury because he could play a lot of positions. He was going to perform offensively. He's going to be your starting shortstop or your left fielder. Yep. He's batting 115 this spring. You know what his slugging percentage is? 115. You know how many extra base hits he has this season? Zero.
Jeez.
He's striking out about a third of the time. That spring training, he's a veteran player, and this happens.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say that the sky is falling. But to your point, a strained hamstring, a slow start, an injury to one of your pitchers.
It has a major effect.
There's no cushion. There's no wiggle room that all of a sudden now you got to get – I need 25 starts out of Ryan Pepio. It's a big ask.
How's Muncy doing?
Muncy's doing fine.
Okay.
Muncy looks like Max Muncy again. Mm-hmm. Like he's fine. They're still really good, but that – look, if Muncy's struggling, who cares? We got these other seven guys that are going to backstop
him. It's not the case anymore.
They're as thin as they've been 10 years. Still good, but the margin of error is non-existent.
What's fascinating is they're coming from that 111 wins. So I think, by the way, I think that's what gave a lot of optimism for some of these other teams in the NL is Philadelphia going kind of all in, the Padres going all in. Part of that also has to do with the Dodgers for the first time have come back to reality. Right, like they've been living in a high rise on the 42nd floor, and if there's a war going on down to the first floor, they have no idea. Everything seems fine up here.
You guys all right over there? Like, you need any help?
You guys breathe in the fresh air?
Look at the view from up here. It's gorgeous. I can see the ocean. Right?
They only face the ocean. They have no idea what's going on around them.
It's World War III in the alley behind the building. And
I can't hear anything. I mean, I don't know what everybody's complaining about.
E. Slang writes, Trav, have you tried using the hot mustard on those double cheeseburgers? First of all, it's a McDouble, not a double cheeseburger. There's a slight difference between those two things. One has two slices of cheese. The other one only has one. I prefer the one with one. But hopefully there's also a Del Taco visit on deck for you. That's further down the recovery road. And then this one involves you, Slee. It's from James Zuber, who says, Badlands Chugs can eat an entire McDouble in 20 seconds, including swallowing it. Make it happen, Slee. Well, hold him to it. I don't know. It's not really, like, I don't do stunts. I just hadn't eaten something good. And if you can only have so many applesauces and toasts before you need a little fat in your life.
Bro, these people, if people do those food challenges where they're eating like... they're doing it for like a shirt. Remember, it was a guy, Adam, Man vs. Food, or I forget what it was.
Adam Richman.
Adam Richman. That's exactly what it was. I don't know how people do it, man. don't know how people do it. They do it for like a living.
I had Adam Richman on one of my shows a few years ago at the Super Bowl and got a chance to sit with him and talk with him a little bit. Really, really good guy. I liked talking with him a lot. It was like we discovered, like, you're into this too, aren't you? Like, you really like doing, like, yep. Yes, I do. It was like
they weren't like concept questions. They were detailed questions.
And it wasn't one of these, like, he's a nice guy. It's like, it's like we were kindred spirits, like we had met before in a previous life. Never spoken to him before or since, but I'm like, yep.
That's Is it adam.richman@gmail.com? Let's get in touch.
It certainly seemed that way. The Dump coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. I'm sure it's a coincidence, Em, that this is at the top of the list for
It's literally at the top. There's a list that on our Zoom I can't scroll down any further because there's so much stuff there. But the first one, City, you want to read it? Read it for us.
Yeah, okay. So yeah.
I think Taylor probably put it there.
Yeah, of course. So the city of Glendale will be named Swift City this week because Taylor Swift is starting her Eras Tour there this Saturday. It has actually been enacted by their city council that they have changed their name to Swift City. Businesses in Glendale, Arizona say that the first 2 days of Taylor Swift's Eras Tour will bring in more money than the Super Bowl. Which, okay, so I think the...
Very disappointing. I was hoping it was this Glendale here. That we could go to Rafi's after...
I was going to say, could I hit a nice Middle Eastern restaurant?
Carousel right after we watch Taylor Swift in front of the mall.
Taylor's five-month-long tour begins in Glendale this Saturday. It's going to end in Los Angeles here in August. I will be attending the one in August. But it does make a little bit of sense because it's the 2 days is a long time. I know the Super Bowl has the whole week, but people are already arriving there in Glendale, staying all week in Arizona. It's a lot of spring break trippers and stuff like that. So it does bring a lot of money to have Taylor Swift there.
Emily, don't get mad at me with what I'm about
to
say.
I know the Super Bowl is way more.
No, that's not what I was going to say. What I was going to say is I don't get it because, like, I'm not a fan of her music, but that is such a remarkable thing to be able to say that. And she's a one person act, right? It's not like she is part of this. She's not part
band.
Of the Beatles, right? That she is one woman who can alter the economy of municipalities in such an impactful way is extraordinary.
Mm. Her and Beyonce can really do a lot for whatever city that they tend to be in.
The Super Bowl, not like a flea market.
No, I'm like, I got to almost like read it over a couple more times. It's like, wait. How can she have that much impact? I get it. By the way, there's certain generations where certain artists just own whatever it is. There's one of them there.
How long has she been at the top? Is it 12 years?
Since 2006.
How she old is been, she?
She's 32. She's born in 1989. So
she ain't going away for a while.
No, she's been at the top of her game for a really long time and consistently at the top of the charts. So we'll see how much it does. It's a lot of stops, and Paramore is opening for her too, which is also a band like people like to see here at Glendale. So it's gonna be great.
You big Paramore guy, Slee?
Yeah, I was. I was a lot bigger in 2012.
Yeah, I feel like I like their early stuff, but
stuff was so good.
I'm surprised you actually haven't heard of Paramore, Alan. You like pop punk.
I just had a phase in like high school and early college where it was, you know, Blink-182 and it was no use for a name. It was just kind of random artists.
You could have told me that Paramore was classical, pop punk, straight pop.
This point, if it's not Weezer, I'm like, I don't remember.
I don't know. I would have believed you.
The real question is Inglewood going to do anything when Taylor Swift goes there? I think she has five nights. She has five nights that she's selling out.
I know you're in. Are you just going the one time?
Just once.
Okay, let me
afford more than once.
Let me give an example how insane what she just said, what she just said, and just kind of the reality of it. This was probably about maybe 10 years ago. Jay-Z and Kanye performed three nights in a row at Staples at the time, okay? So I think it was I could be wrong, but I think it was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It was something like that. Performed three nights in a row. Three nights in a row, Crypto.com Arena or Staples, whatever it is. That's so impressive. She's about to... That's 19,000 people. Taylor Swift's about to do...
SoFi
Stadium, and it's five nights. That's
insane.
What's the
capacity when they configure it for a concert? What
yeah,
is
how
it?
Do they
I
do
I
that?
I want to say it's like 60.
Yikes. So she's doing their entire weekend in one night times five.
Oh, my God. Gosh.
And so there's a lot of cities that don't get a concert. Like San Diego doesn't get one. A lot of places in California.
Sorry,
people can travel to Los Angeles.
You want to know why they're not going to get one? Because they built a 29,000 seat stadium and the Chargers are gone. That's
Petco.
Why they're not going to get
go
one.
Petco.
Petco would be good. Actually, yeah, Petco's, they've done some good concerts. Yeah,
but
Petco.
I think that you have to decide whether or not. So as a touring artist, I think you have to decide whether or not you're going to do baseball stadiums or football stadiums. And you have to, because I don't think they work together.
Oh, yeah.
Dodger fans, do not judge me with what I'm about to say. You know where my loyalties lie. God, I love Petco Park. It's so awesome. We went and watched the Holiday Bowl down there, North Carolina and Oregon.
Oh, it's a badass park.
I'll go to a handful of Potter games every year. It's just, it's a wonderful night out at the ballpark, even if the Padres.
You know what it is? You know what it is? It's more like I look at Dodger Stadium, and I've said this about Dodger Stadium. I don't think there's a time I go to Dodger Stadium and I don't take that full lap. It's a museum.
Yeah.
It's a museum. It really is. It takes you back to like the history, the this, that. Petco Park is more like it's a remodeled home that looks really good and
Dodger
more
Stadium
modern.
Is awesome from a visual standpoint. The mountains, the pavilion roof is iconic and everything else, and the fact that it sits in a little hole in the ground, it's awesome.
Yeah,
but the game day experience, they've improved a great deal with it. So you can walk around the outfield thing. But it's the third oldest ballpark in the major leagues. It's old.
Sure.
It's legitimately old. And especially if you start going through the concourses and stuff, you're like, yeah, this place was built in the 50s and 60s.
That's a Fenway thing.
Fenway, Wrigley Field, Dodger Stadium.
Mm-hmm. At least the seats are bigger in Dodger Stadium. The seats in Fenway are so tiny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fenway's another one, like Al's saying. It's just one of those places that you go, you're having a great time, Green Monster. It's super fun.
Literally bars right out. Like, it's a cool scene.
Give me season tickets at Petco Park before Fenway Park. Right? It's just, there's no comparison. Today is National, where to go, Emily? Everything You Know Is Wrong Day. Explain. I don't know what that means.
It's just
won an Oscar.
Everything ever all at once. But it's one of these random national days that just kind of gets thrown around all the time. But I put it on there because I think it's interesting because, just to question the world, be a little conspiracy theory-like, and, you know, everything you know is wrong. Expand your mind. Maybe Aaron Rodgers is getting to get at me a little bit, but I was just thinking about things that we could be conspiratorial
about.
I
asked her this morning if there's like a conspiracy theory that's kind of widely known, but that you actually believe is true. Do you know the one about the Denver airport? Because she's a believer in that one.
No, I do not.
The Denver airport is, by those who are believers, believed to be like a hub for post-apocalyptic life.
Yes.
Right? That there are a series of underground caverns that are not used, that they built it in a place that really doesn't make any sense. Mm. There's a lot of post-apocalyptic art inside the airport
itself.
I'm
down to believe it. This is interesting.
There's the horse outside of the airport that is all blue and has red eyes. It actually killed the person who was making it because it fell on him or something like that. Like, there's a lot of weird stuff around the Denver airport, and I think that it's not really a coincidence, but I do also think that the airport buys into it, and like
they do lean into it a little bit.
You know, they have gargoyles sitting around and stuff like that.
Unless it's true, then you'd want to throw people off the scent. Right? You don't want to say, oh yeah, that's what when you're actually, you know, storing aliens in
the
basement. Okay,
where do you fall on the unidentified objects?
Well, I was gonna say, I was gonna ask you like which ones that you might, you know, I don't want to say that I have an open mind. I believe that people, things, entities, intelligent something has come to this planet from somewhere else and is keeping an eye on us, just trying to see what we're capable of, what we know, what we can do. They're obviously far more advanced than we are, but I not only am open to that idea, I believe that that's true.
I want to believe that stuff. I do. Who's the guy? Is it Bob Lazar? Is the one that went on Rogan? There's the one that was around the what's the place in what's Area 51? Is that so? In that, I listened to that whole podcast. I think all that stuff is fascinating. Even over this last
month,
do
you believe it?
I want to believe it,
but you don't.
I think there's definitely no question about it. Doubt. I wish you now they try to show some of this footage. Hey, look at this radar from
the Navy put it out.
From the Navy,
the Department of Defense put it out.
But like everything's so choppy. It's this,
yeah,
you know.
But when
so,
a guy that's flying a $2 billion fighter jet goes, yeah, I don't know what that is.
There's more than one. There's a lot of them. And by
that's
the way,
a weird deal.
Off in San Diego, that's where a lot of that stuff is going
why.
On.
What's in San Diego other than all of our military technology?
By the way, I would like to believe it also.
It's a nice sweater.
Do you believe
you.
It?
I like that.
Here's the...
Because I do.
The urban legend is that there was a crash at Area 51 in Roswell, New Mexico, and they transported the bodies of the aliens to Dayton, Ohio, at the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in a Hangar 19. That's how detailed the urban legend is. I just think it's a place where we fly experimental aircraft.
Sure.
What about the idea, Mace, of something intelligent coming from somewhere else checking out on us every once in a while?
You know,
I want to believe it. I don't think I believe
it. I do.
Do you? I think we, I mean, I read that we are 2,000 years away from the next possible star. It would take us 2,000 years to get there to the next inhabitable planet. The thing that blows me away is, so there's billions of stars in our galaxy. There's billions of galaxies. It's unbelievable how much is out there. It's ridiculous to assume that there's nothing.
That's why there are unexplained things here. To your point, maybe it's experimental things from our government or somewhere else's. Right. Or someone else's.
By the other thing, by the way, is that we got this from the aliens, this experimental stuff, and then we started using it ourselves to create experimental aircraft.
But the thing that really puts me over the edge is what you said. The arrogance that would come along with we're the only ones is staggering.
Billions of stars in our galaxy, billions of galaxies in our universe.
Right. Billion times a billion times a billion.
Well, why don't they send me an email? Why don't they send me a little better footage?
Drop us a note.
They're working on a different level than we are. Let's do a little super crosstalk. So, Mace, you and I have known each other for a long time.
Yes.
But you just dropped something on me that I had no idea. And I'm so happy to know this.
Yep.
And ask a million questions about it. We were kind of talking about today. Emily, what's the name of the day today?
Everything You Know Is Wrong Day.
Everything You Know Is Wrong Day.
Got it.
Okay, it's National Everything. So it's kind of Conspiracy Theory Day, right?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people know the name of this show and what it's about. There was a show for a very long time, syndicated radio show, that was on across the country. It was on, I want to say KBC here in Los Angeles?
KFI.
KFI,
yeah.
Okay. Called The Art Bell Show.
Yes.
And it was about the weird things that happen in the world.
Yeah.
It was about aliens and remote viewing and werewolves and vampires and all of the stuff that people just go, that's not true.
Yeah.
Right? It's now hosted by George Norrie still, I believe.
Still
doing pretty well.
Really fascinating, yeah.
You hosted The Art Bell Show?
I filled in for Art Bell for a week.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was a crazy experience.
Did you have the... Because they'll have interviews with people that swear they've traveled to other planets.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have
whole thing?
I had an alien abduction one night.
Okay.
I had...
As a guest, not as a
caller. As a guest. Okay. I had a... there are lizard people living inside Earth.
Yes.
There's that story. There was an Area 51 story.
Okay.
There was an Atlantis story, story about the city of Atlantis.
Another regular topic.
And the rule is that you had to accept every premise. Like you'd have a guest on, and you would have to accept the premise no matter how weird or outlandish it was.
You don't poke too much into it. You just kind of give me more.
But you can ask questions. They just can't be,
you're out of your mind. That's ridiculous.
Right. It's, well, why did it happen this way?
Yes.
What else happened? Why doesn't it happen to more
how
people?
How did the lizard people get there in the middle of the earth? That
why
kind
has
of
no
stuff.
One else seen them?
Exactly.
Questions like that.
Yeah.
Did you have a hard time entertaining the premise?
Okay, well, which one was most believable?
The lizard people inside the planet.
Most believable?
Oh, most believable.
Most believable.
Least believable. Believable was lizard people.
I was going to say most believable.
Mark Zuckerberg?
Yeah. Most believable was probably, it was all the Area 51 stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Art Bell actually did his show from Roswell, New Mexico. That's where his studios were, like in some bunker in Roswell.
He did it like from a trailer in Pahrump, Nevada.
It was like a bunker he did the show from.
Awesome.
Oh,
it's even
crazy.
Better. It's even better.
It was an awesome experience. Thanks to Craig Kitchen for hiring me to do
Craig's
that. It was
best.
A great gig.
Craig's the best.
Great
gig. Craig, if you're listening and that opportunity comes up and you're looking for somebody, please call.
By the way, my agent is working on trying to get me an opportunity to fill in on George Norrie's show.
Yes.
So I'm trying to get in there.
I will call.
Yeah.
I will absolutely call. Was there anything where you had a hard time? Just like, come on, I can't even pretend to entertain this.
The lizard people, I did 2 hours with this guy. 2 hours with the lizard people. And
nothing got you, just even a little?
The lizard people, by the way,
you might be on to something.
When they come from the middle of the planet, they become politicians.
Ah.
So the politicians that we see, the powerful ones, are actually lizard people from the middle of the planet.
I'm sold.
Can I go back and listen to it? Do you have a,
boy,
a link?
I wish I had tape. That's on awesome. I was not taping that.
Have you ever gone back and listened to yourself when you were first getting started?
You know, I've got a whole bunch. They have this thing called Legacy Box. Have you seen that advertised?
I have not.
Where you take
that's
take,
right,
like your old cassettes and your old VHS tapes and stuff. You put them in a box and then
send them out.
They send them out and they digitize them. So I've got stuff from Toledo. I've got stuff from New York.
That's
I've
awesome.
Got early stuff with me in Ireland.
Do you really?
I've got a videotape, a VHS tape of me when I was at Bowling Green State University, introducing President Ronald Reagan, who was campaigning in 1984.
Well, you were president of the Young Republicans.
I was president of the Young Republicans and president of the Interfraternity Council. So I was a...
you were quite a campus go-getter.
Oh, I was. I really was. I did too much.
So here, I would imagine that if I went back, I have not listened to myself from a long time ago in a very long time.
Yeah.
Your voice always sounds a little different.
Yes.
Sounds a little thinner, younger, right?
Yep.
That's kind of inevitable. Were there, but every once in a while you hear some go, that was pretty good. That was kind of funny.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I can kind of see what I was going for there. It's almost always terrible.
Yeah.
Especially when you're first getting started. But are the nuggets there?
They're actually on YouTube right now. Somebody put this up and there is me doing, I used to, remember how Rick Dees used to prank people?
Of course.
So there's, we called it Masonizing.
Okay.
And there is one on there that I think is now so mean. It is so mean.
You're pranking somebody else?
I'm pranking somebody else.
Mm-hmm. What was the premise of the prank?
It was for mythical money.
She made homemade wine.
Okay.
Okay. And
somebody actually did?
Did.
Okay.
I was told they make homemade wine. So
okay.
I became an FBI agent who was investigating the use illegal use of alcohol in her neighborhood. Right, right. And she actually cried a little bit. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to make it this bad. I once did a guy, your boat is sinking right now. Your boat is sinking in the marina right now. And my partner, I talked to her and she would say, yeah, all I have to bail it out is a Dixie cup. All I have is a
That's
Dixie
kind
cup.
Of funny.
Yeah. No, it's funny stuff. But now I look back and I say, oh, that is kind of mean. That's kind of mean.
Made a lady cry for illegal bootlegging.
Illegal bootlegging. I'll find that link.
I'd like to
and send it out.
No chance you have any of your Art Bell time? I would listen to that on the drive home.
I don't think I do. Oh. I don't think I do. God, I wish I had that.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
That really is. I think of when, and I get caught up into some of that stuff. If somebody, even we were talking about it in the last month or so, right? Unidentified objects. What is this? Remember, there's a moment there. Found another one over Alaska or whatever it is, right?
Been a lot lately.
And then podcasts will come out on it, and it's just, you know, an hour of somebody swearing, guys, I'm telling you, finally we got the evidence that we're looking for. And then it just kind of dies down again. It just gets quiet. But I always find those
there
fascinating.
There were a bunch in San Diego, weren't there?
Yeah, San Diego, we're talking about, this is all the way dating back to, I want to say 2004, 2006, something like that, where a lot of these pilots, it just became a regular thing. It's
right.
Like they knew it was there, but it wasn't doing anything to them, so they just kind of, it became a regular occurrence where it almost was big deal.
The unidentified object was almost kind of interacting with the Navy pilots.
Yeah.
Like they, but the unidentified object was very clearly the superior craft. Like it could,
move, listen, they were talking
in
about
ways that aircraft don't move.
Yes.
When you're 200 miles, whatever, off the ocean, and that it's super windy, so a lot of these jets are, you know, they're kind of moving. This thing just wouldn't move at all.
Just stood there.
It hovers going into like a 70-knot headwind. It just sits there and doesn't move.
No, it's crazy. I wanted to react to something else you were talking about today. So you were talking about being recruited into a wedding at the last minute.
Yes.
Like you got recruited
4 days before the wedding.
4 days, okay. So when Juan and I first got together years and years, 17 years ago, it was about 6 months in, and I was taking him back to Cleveland, where my parents lived, and was introducing him to my parents. My grandpap died. My grandfather died. So he had to go to Altoona, Pennsylvania on
Juan
this
did.
Trip. Juan did.
Okay.
For my grandfather's funeral. And he was 89 years old. They did not have enough pallbearers. So here's Juan recruited to be a pallbearer at my grandpap's wedding, at the first trip he ever met my parents or my grandmother.
Hey, you're making friends fast that
way. Man, you go straight to me. Hey, here's my mom and dad. You got to be a pallbearer at my grandpap's funeral.
You strong? You're back good?
Exactly.
Because we need you to help carry granddad.
He's probably like, is this a test? What is this?
Yeah, got recruited to be a pallbearer.
I was a backup best man.
Backup.
Yeah,
were you in the wedding?
I was in the wedding, but it's a close friend of mine, but his best friend was teaching international. We were talking about, he's like, I don't think you can find a worse scenario than somebody else doing this. I'm like, no, I think I got one. His best friend was teaching international, so he wasn't able to do it. Okay, scratch him off the list.
Yeah.
Somebody, and it was like a vocal thing. Hey, he can't do it. And then, oh, he can't do it, so can you do it?
Oh, so you were like a fourth round draft pick.
I was, exactly. At best, fourth rounder. I could have got traded at any moment.
Yeah.
What's but not the best man, the third.
I'm teaching school on the other side of the world. I can't get to your wedding is a valid reason. To
oh, sure.
Be. What are some other ones that, hey, listen, because weddings are very rarely spur of the moment.
Yeah.
Right? They're usually
sure,
planned,
a lot of
planned long in advance. Save the date. You get that
save
thing.
Save the date. And hey, and by the way, if I'm asking you to be my best man, presumably we have a very personal, close relationship.
Yeah.
I say to you, I'm getting married in 3 months. I would like you to be my best man. What scenario is can't make it? Because that's a very personal thing to ask, and you're giving a lot of runway. If it's the I'm having an impromptu wedding next weekend.
Okay,
that's different.
Here's an example. We knew about the Pickleball Madness tournament a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
It happens to be Lisa Ireland's birthday.
Yes.
So Ireland, that's why he's not participating. Mm-hmm. So he told us way in advance, that's Lisa's birthday. I can't do it. That's the sort of thing. The sort of excuse it would, or I've got
but
a trip
you,
to Mace, Europe.
If you're getting married and you asked John to be your best man 3 months in advance, even if it was Lisa's wedding, he'd be at your wedding.
Yes, he would.
He would be there.
Yes, he would.
That's my point.
Yeah. No,
like, there are.
It's hard to come up with an excuse.
A wedding as the best as a guest.
Yeah.
Very easy because like, if I'm just invited to the wedding, I can come or not. Best man, I'm asking you to stand up for
me.
Yeah.
Right.
I think there's one that's no question about. It's obviously got to be honest. But you had somebody who was close that passed away within the last month, 2 months, whatever the case is. Something like that.
In 2 months?
Yeah. That's not uncommon. There's a lot, actually, that's not uncommon, at least, I can't speak for every Middle Eastern person out there, but it's not uncommon that there's a little bit of a stretch there where you don't go to weddings, events, stuff like that.
Right.
So that's not uncommon.
I got drafted into a wedding 4 days before the wedding itself because the groom of said wedding literally did not have any friends who were coming to the wedding.
Really?
The wedding party was already mostly work associates to begin with.
Yes.
Which I did not make the first cut of in the first run through it.
Right.
One of them dropped. Again, to drop out of a wedding has to be a pretty serious event as a officiant or as a groomsman.
Yeah.
And so I was drafted in at the very last minute.
Wow.
It was odd.
By the way, speaking of save the date, I'm telling you right now.
Okay.
July the 22nd. You know, I've thrown some massive parties in my life. We are going to throw a massive party on July the 22nd, which is a Saturday. And it's going to be, we've decided it's going to be Christmas in July.
Okay.
So the entire awesome. House is going to be will be decorated with Christmas decorations.
Just because?
Christmas trees. Yeah, just Christmas in July, a theme for the thing. It'll be Christmas
in July.
Well,
Mace used to throw arguably the best holiday parties
really good party.
Yeah. For years.
Yeah.
COVID hit, and we've been in a hiatus now for the last couple of years.
Yes.
So that's awesome.
I did your cookies and cocktails.
Oh, the cookies one was huge.
It was a good party.
That's the night that Sliwa kind of went stumbling down the steps at the end of the night with Chris Morales to go to a place called, what was that bar in Venice?
I forget what
Rooster
the bar.
Roosterfish.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, you went to Roosterfish.
Well, I wish I could say that I was stumbling down, but really more what I was doing, Morales was over at, when you're basically on the, you guys had some outdoor furniture outside.
Yes,
I can't remember
if
it was an actual couch or whatever. He was basically posted up there as if he was done. Like he's just like this. So then I naturally was going to the bar and saying, hey, Chris, can I get you one? And he's like, no, I'm good. I'm like, sounds good. I'll get it. And then I would just bring him drinks. And
nice.
Morales is not one of those. If you put it in his hand, he's going to drink it.
So who did
it,
the so stumbling? You or Morales?
Morales was.
Oh, yeah. Morales was.
He was in good shape.
He was good and sauced.
Yeah, he was in good shape.
Good and sauced.
July 22nd?
July 22nd. Save the date.
All right. 4 days before, I promise I won't drop out.
Excellent. Excellent.
I promise that that's not how it's going
to
go.
Are you ready for Saturday?
Yeah,
Did you practice?
I'm playing with my brother. My brother gets in this afternoon. He's my pickleball partner. So we're going to go out to the park and play today and do some pickup games.
Hopefully not raining.
I'm hoping it clears up enough to be able to do it. But that's really our only chance to practice because tomorrow we're all going to be at Yamava.
Yep.
Yep.
And Friday, we're going to call it an early night because Saturday is going to be
it's game day. Wild. Yeah, it's game day. You don't go out the night before the big
exactly.
game.
Exactly.
Are you going to carb up on, you know, how people like marathon runners?
I'm going to load up on carbs. Really, yeah, I am. I'm going to load up on carbs.
Hey, how are you? Is it just donuts?
Yeah, those are carbs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's perfect. Sugar, donut, perfect.
One of those bacon donuts. Maple bacon.
Oh,
those
are that good. Sounds good.
That
yeah.
has some protein.
Those are good.
Yeah, there's a little protein. You're right.
right.
Yeah.
A little greasy protein.
Bacon,
I like that.
Like sweet bacon is one of those weird combinations so that's so good.
It is
it
good.
Works.
It's just so good.
The concept initially, I'm like, maple. What the heck is this? Yeah. And then it's like, no, this works.
Yeah, that totally works.
Donut, not a bad way to do it. Yeah. So Jaws coming back before too long, right?
Yeah.
It's basically time served.
Time served.
Yeah. Two more. He's eligible to come back Monday, right?
Yeah, he won't come back Monday. It'll probably be Wednesday.
So wait a minute. It's retroactive.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so he's not. Doesn't have to serve eight
like
on top.
Okay,
he's eligible to return Monday. Likely to return Wednesday.
I wouldn't even say Wednesday. It was like you know, like after something that. Like that. Yeah. After that.
You surprised or?
Yes and no. Like I thought it was a little light. If you look at it, you're like eight games. It's not much. But here's the problem, guys. And maybe it's not a problem. Maybe this is good that we're airing on this side, but can't really prove everything. Even though you can see something in a video, you can't prove it.
Right,
right?
True.
And so the statement is very carefully worded.
How can you not prove it? It's,
how do you know it's a real gun? How do you know?
Well, the statement says it's a firearm. So it sounds like there was either proof that it was a firearm or he admitted it was a firearm, okay? But they don't have the actual firearm, okay? And they also say they could not corroborate whether that firearm was with him on team premises.
In a team facility.
Or in a team
or
facility or while he was traveling. And so that's the real big issue with the CBA. And I think also it's kind of like, you know, the police in Colorado basically said, okay, even though he's holding what looks to be a firearm.
They punt
and he looks like
isn't
he's inebriated.
Isn't it an open carry state?
It's an open carry state, but not if you're
not if you're in a club.
No, not drinking. If you're under the influence.
Not if you're drinking, under the influence.
Not when you're drinking.
If you're intoxicated.
Yeah.
Well, in the NBA statement, it does say in an intoxicated state.
Yeah.
So there is sort of some admission there, but I don't think the cops in Colorado are going back and relitigating.
No.
What's happening here is that everybody's looked at this. It was a bad scene, bad situation. He's done all the right things since, right? He you know, immediately apologized, deleted all his social media, went to a rehab facility. By the way, people are misreading that report from last week. Like, I think,
Tim
McMahon saying
rehab facility?
He's checked himself into a counseling facility.
A counseling
or
facility, right.
Like, as if that just happened 2 days ago. I think he's been there for much longer. It's just when we were finally able to report it.
You know,
right?
It's funny.
Like, it's not that easy to report that kind of a thing.
Sure. So. And when it broke, right, that he was going to step away from the team, right? That when
He's been there the whole time.
There was a couple of games. Yeah. And I remember you, John, and Al and I were having the conversation. It was when you were on vacation.
Yeah.
And we were kind of arguing a little bit, Ramona. You're like, hey, and John was like, I think he might be done through the end of the year.
Yeah.
Right? And I said, I don't think so. I think he's going to be back. As soon as the NBA can look themselves in the mirror and put him back on the court, that's when they're going to put him back on the court. And it feels like they almost split the difference.
Yeah, they kind of split the difference.
They didn't throw the book at him, so to speak. This isn't, okay, you're back. Now start an eight-game clock. This was, we need him back in the league. It's better for him to be back in the league. It's better
turn
for
the
us
page.
To have him back in the league. The sooner this goes away, the sooner we stop talking about it. But we can also say we did take care of it. They kind of cut the baby.
And he got a pretty good reprimand from Adam Silver, right? The quote in that
pretty
statement
strong.
Was pretty strong.
Yeah, pretty strong.
You know, so in some ways this is theater, right? I mean,
that was where I landed on it from the beginning.
It is a little
you
performative,
get a strong
right?
response from Adam. So I thought that was a harshly worded statement, and I can only imagine what the conversation in person was.
But see, here's the thing.
No. His quote was reprehensible, irresponsible, reckless. You know,
yes,
that's pretty,
and those are very powerful words.
Yeah.
They're words. He ain't missing time.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of
eight games without pay is significant.
I kind of think there's an element. I think it's a little performative.
I do too.
Yeah. It's like, we've got to do something, but we also got to get him back on the court.
It's also what you can prove it, you know? Like, I think they could look, Adam Silver has carte blanche here. He could have done whatever he wanted. And there's the
what would David Stern have done?
I think it would have never got to this point with David Stern.
Where would he have nipped it in the bud?
Probably after the incident with the Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this goes all the way back. I mean, if you go look
right,
on
it wasn't
Jaws
one
social
incident.
Media, there was there was a video of him going to, like, flying on a private jet last year where he's, like, you know, pick your poison, and he has two jars. Like, one's a Clase Azul tequila. I know my tequila, so I knew that one.
Yeah.
And there was another that was a different kind of tequila. It was pretty good. I think it looked like a...
Why don't you hold all this stuff? These guys want to go home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure,
hold it. And we'll talk about it coming up.
Yeah.
Super Crosstalk is powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what you think I want
to say. Travis asked a question.
Travis is like, I don't know.
I thought it was a good question, too, if I'm giving
it. It was.
I've been right today once and wrong more.
I heard
once.
You wrong and then quickly wrong.
Every tweet was changing.
Mario just totally cut bait with you guys.
I'd like to keep a gone. Very balanced ledger.
He left us.
Yes, yes.
Right? If
left our table.
If I'm loud wrong, I'm going to be right for 30 seconds.
With a shift, right?
Right. Super Crosstalk's powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger is all about. Mason and Ireland coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow. Yeah.